This recording was produced by Green Lane Masjid. For more information on the activities and services the mosque provides, please visit www.greenlanemasjid.org.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله الله إلى الناس كافة بشيرا ونذيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أحبتي في الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله والإحسان فإن الله مع الذين تقوا والذين هم محسنون. My beloved brothers and sisters, I start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending blessings and salutations upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved brothers and sisters, when it comes to the many commandments that we have in Islam, we know there are five that are the most important ones. Of course, the five pillars of Islam, the Shahada, the five daily prayers, the annual zakat and charity, fasting the month of Ramadan, and going to Hajj, which is of course not too far from now. May Allah allow us to visit His house. Now, my brothers and sisters, some of the ulama, they actually say that there is a sixth pillar of Islam, if you will. One that is so important, a command that is so important, that it's so crucial that it ought to be added to the five pillars of Islam. Now, of course, you have the five, but they said this to emphasize and highlight the importance of this particular act of worship. And that act of worship, my brothers and sisters, is what is known as al-amru bil-ma'roof wal-nahy anil-munkar. It is the enjoining and the calling towards good and the forbidding of evil. This is an act of worship that the ulama say is an obligation. Sometimes it will be a communal obligation, meaning we are all collectively responsible to ensure that we are calling towards that which is good and forbidding that which is evil. And that will have stages. Sometimes we are talking about within the confines of your home. Sometimes we're talking about your neighborhood. And it can go bigger and larger depending on the situation and the sin and the evil that is being forbidden or the good that's being called towards. But nonetheless, it is an obligation and one that we have to ask ourselves for, how am I, how often am I, how good am I, how regular am I doing this particular obligation when it comes to enjoining good and forbidding evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ummah that we have been honored to be a part of, is the greatest ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin, and you are the best of nations. Ukhrijat linnas, brought forth to the people. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. Why are we so great, Ya Allah? Why did we deserve this honor, Ya Allah? Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. You call towards good. You command good. Wa tanhawna anil munkar. And you forbid evil, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and you believe in Allah. Some of the ulama, they highlighted the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the forbidding of evil and the commanding of good even before believing in Allah. Again, to highlight its importance. Similarly, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Let there be among you a people, a group, some of you at the very least, that are calling towards good, that are forbidding evil, that are calling towards good, that are commanding, enjoining good and forbidding evil, and they are the successful ones. If you want success in this life and you want success in the hereafter, be among those that stand up towards truth, that spend time calling people to khair and forbidding evil. Now, what are the consequences if we don't? What are the consequences, my brother and sisters, if we don't? And I want to share with you two narrations. One of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You shall forbid evil. You shall forbid evil. And if you don't, you will call upon Allah and Allah will not answer you. You will call upon Allah and Allah will not answer you." So if there is evil among us and none of us are saying anything about it, if there's evil in your home and you're not speaking out against it, if your relatives and family members are involved in a particular sin and you're not saying anything about it, or there is not enough khair and goodness and righteousness being commanded in your home, in your neighborhood, in your area, in your workplace, or wherever it may be, then the Prophet ﷺ said that he's fearful that we will be raising our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our dua will not be accepted. This should be enough of an encouragement, my brothers and sisters, for us to take this seriously. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, he said, "I swear by the one whose hand my soul is in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will command good and you will forbid evil, or else what? A punishment will descend upon you all that encompasses everybody. And the curse that went on Banu Israel will befall upon us as well." And what was the curse that fell to Banu Israel? يقول الله عز وجل لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the people of Banu Israel were cursed by the prophets that were sent to them على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم. عيسى and داود صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم أجمعين. And what was the reason that the la'an came upon them? They would not forbid evil. How evil is what they've done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And there's a clear example of that in the story of the Sabbath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they were given a test or a trial. You're all familiar with the story. And they were told that they could not do certain things on the day of the Sabbath, including fishing. But Allah tested them because all of the fish would be readily available on that day. So they tried to be deceptive and they planned to put their nets out on a Friday, and then Saturday they're sitting at home, and then Sunday they would collect it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that those that did that, they were transgressing. They were sinning. They were disobeying. And by the way, my brothers and sisters, now that might be a very clear way of being deceptive, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against those people that try to find the loopholes when things are forbidden from them. Trying to find loopholes. Oh, this is haram. But technically, if you do it this way, if you do it that way, then it can be halal. But what if I... This type of thinking is very dangerous. Stay away from that which Allah has forbidden. Stay away from the borders of the haram, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Now, my brothers and sisters, when that happened, when that sin happened, when they transgressed and they did this, there were a group of people that stood out against it, that spoke out against it from the Banu Israel. And they warned them. They said to remind them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, you had the group that was transgressing. And you had the group that was speaking out. But there was a third group. And that third group, my brothers and sisters, they said, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. Why are you bothering with these people? Why are you warning them? Why are you admonishing them? There's no point. لِمَ تَعِذُونَ اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ. Allah will punish them. Allah will deal with them. Let them be. And then they said, the people that stood out, that were forbidding the evil, they said, مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Why are we doing it? Why am I spending my time trying to save someone else, call towards good, ensure that they're not doing haram, remind them of Allah? Why? مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. So that we have an excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that the day I am resurrected, I can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Allah, I tried. Ya Allah, I reminded him. Ya Allah, I admonished him." And perhaps they will fear Allah and stop. So here you learn something. Your niyyah, a portion of it should be, I am standing up here, calling towards good and forbidding evil, so that in front of Allah, I have an excuse. Ya Allah, I did not just watch them. Ya Allah, I did not just watch them. Rather, I spoke out or I did what I could. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And perhaps they may take heed and listen and obey and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this story, you understand why many of the Bani Israel were cursed, because not even did they were speaking out, they were stopping others from speaking out. Which is why the worst thing you can do, my brothers and sisters, is someone that is trying to call towards khair, ya akhi, why are you bothering? Give up. He will never listen. This type of attitude is very dangerous, because guidance is not in our hands, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, here we learn something very important. Number one, the obligation of calling towards good and forbidding evil. And that obligation is on all of us on different levels. Those that have authority and have authority over more people will have more of an obligation than others. Those that can affect change will have more of an obligation than others. But each one of us, right now, if I tell you, do you know someone that needs advice? Do you know someone that's engaged in a particular sin that needs to be advised on? Maybe they're selling in their shop something that is haram. Maybe they don't pray. Maybe she is not wearing the right way of modesty and hijab. Maybe this, maybe that. Each one of us has a relative, a family member, a friend, a co-worker, somebody that needs advice, that needs guidance, that needs to be spoken to. But if we don't do that, we are also culpable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So my brothers and sisters, here we learn something. Number one, the obligation of calling towards good and forbidding evil. And number two, how sinful it is if we don't. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. My brothers and sisters, you've understood the obligation. You've understood the sin. Let me briefly speak about the reward. This act of worship, it has great reward. And suffice it to say that the Prophet ﷺ said, addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. Addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. The one who shows someone else a path towards good will be like the one doing it. In other words, if you speak to certain brothers or certain sisters that you know that are not doing ibadah, that are not doing something khair, and they start doing that because of you, because you spoke to them, every good thing that they do after that, you have a portion of that reward. So there's a great reward in doing this, my brothers and sisters, and there's a great sin in not doing it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. Now it is important that we speak about how. How do we call towards good? How do we forbid evil? Lest we start making things worse. And if you look at the Quran and the Sunnah, you'll find many examples of many lessons teaching us how. And the first thing I want to address is that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three stages of calling towards good and forbidding evil. مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Brothers, if there's potentially space you can give each other, then move forward. There's a lot of people that are standing in the back, so try and keep that in mind. بَارَكَ فِيكُمْ. Maybe if you can move forward and give some space. طيب, the three things. If one of you sees evil, then let him change with his hand. If he's not able to do so, then let him speak out with his tongue. And if he's not able to do so, then at the very least, let him hate it in his heart. My brothers and sisters, this is something you always have to remember. And ask yourself, what can I do? What can I do? And if you can potentially physically change something, and often that is with those you have authority over, this could be your children that you're raising in your house, it's your household, it could be a place that you're in charge of, maybe you manage a shop, maybe you have employees, and maybe they're not praying, or maybe there is no prayer room, or maybe there is something haram that is being done, and you have authority to change that. Maybe you own the business, and you can change something about it. That will be something that you can physically change, affect. If that's the case, then you are responsible. And of course, those that are in power, those that are in authority, those that are the rulers, they will have the most responsibility. But changing something with your hand is connected to having the authority to do so. If you don't have the authority to do so, then don't cause any more issue, but rather speak out against it if possible. And that, my brothers and sisters, requires two things: courage and patience. First, have the courage to speak out. It's not easy, my brothers and sisters. It's not easy. Sometimes someone will say, "Ya akhi, I don't want to make it awkward. I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to change the vibe. It is weird," because we're not used to it. We're not used to telling each other and checking each other, which is what we are meant to be doing. If we all collectively want to go to Jannah, I need you to speak to me, and you need me to speak to you. So that requires courage and tweaking the way we behave amongst each other. Don't How often have you seen someone backbiting someone else in front of you? Maybe towards you, saying, that brother is like this and like that and like this. And you're just listening. And sometimes you know it's wrong. And you're smiling and nodding along because you don't want to call that person out. But my brothers and sisters, is it really, really brotherly? Is it a real friend, the one that watches you sin and doesn't stop you? Let's fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard and try and have the courage to speak out when it benefits. When it benefits. And we have to have some level of wisdom here. And also the patience when things don't go the way we want. Sabr. Wasta'inu bi sabri wa salah. Right? Seek aid in patience. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah told the Prophet, Fasbir kama sabara ulul azim min ar-rusul. Have patience like the very patient of the prophets, the five that Allah mentioned in the Quran. So, why is this important? Because when you speak to someone, sometimes they might insult you, sometimes they might abuse you, sometimes they might not take heed, sometimes they might say something that hurts, that friendship might not be the way it was before, but have patience. Especially if you have a lofty goal of guiding people, if you have a lofty goal of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you speak out. Again, I have to emphasize, when it benefits, because sometimes it may not benefit. And when you have to be wise enough to analyze the situation and say, maybe in this situation, speaking out will cause more harm. Maybe in this situation, if I speak out, this particular person will not listen to me. It could very well be that it is in a gathering, and sometimes you don't want to embarrass a person in a gathering, hence why you could speak to them in private. Maybe this particular person is your senior, and they're less likely to listen to you, and the better approach would be to find someone that is of similar age, or you use an indirect approach. Often I have some people coming to me and saying, yeah, Shaykhana, my father, my mother, my uncle, someone that is a senior to me, is engaging in something that they're not supposed to, are doing something that is sinful. How do I approach? And I often say, perhaps you are not the right person to speak to them. And look, my brothers and sisters, this is a problem that we have. We have to solve. We have to solve this problem of not being able to take advice from youngsters, not being able to take advice from people that you are your juniors. It is a problem. That is incorrect. But at the same time, it is a fact, which is why we have to use hikmah wherever possible. Now here, often I'm speaking to you guys as if you are the people that are going to be calling to us good and forbidding evil. But it is just as likely that you will be the one that's receiving the guidance, that's receiving the advice. And just as you are required to be good, efficient in calling towards good and forbidding evil, you have to be just as good and efficient at receiving it. Don't be arrogant when someone comes to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he was going to approach Fir'aun to be gentle with him. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. So gentleness, again, is part of what you need to do when you're advising people. You use gentleness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing is in gentleness except that it increases in beauty. That being said, let's say someone comes to you in a harsh tone, in a tone you don't like, or someone that is very much younger than you, and they say something. And then Shaitan comes to you and is like, who is this person that's telling me X, Y, and Z? Who does he think he is? I remember when your mom and dad got married and you're telling me this or that or the other. Who do you think you are? And you have that sense of arrogance bubbling. Remember, it's Shaitan playing with you. Or you're thinking to yourself, look at this person. How dare you raise your voice against me? The sunnah is to be gentle. I'm not. You need to learn to zero in on the advice and ignore the rest. This person might use the wrong approach, but you as a receiver of guidance need to be able to say, okay, maybe he didn't say the right way, but what he's saying is true. You need to work on that. And that means curb the arrogance and try and be receptive to advice. Because wallahi, even if sometimes the approach is wrong, even if they don't follow the sunnah in being gentle, even if they don't follow the sunnah in advising in private, even if they don't follow the sunnah in these many aspects, they still walked up to you. They still cared enough to speak to you. And that means something, as opposed to the many that walked past that didn't advise you on your shortcomings. Now, am I saying, promoting it, let's not use follow the sunnah? No, I am. But sometimes I'm speaking to you as the person giving guidance, and sometimes I'm speaking to you as the person receiving guidance, because you will be both. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to take too much of your time, but wallahi, a lot of khair and barakah will come from us as a community if we are speaking out more against evil, and if you are calling more towards good, and if you are more receptive of guidance, and if you follow the sunnah when it comes to how we do it. Allow me to summarize the points before we conclude, my brothers and sisters. Number one, understand that calling towards good and forbidding evil is an obligation. It is an obligation. Number two, the reason we do it is ma'adirah, that we have an excuse in front of Allah, and also la'allahum yattaqoon, perhaps the person you're speaking to will accept that and be guided. And if they do so, you will get a lot of reward for that. May Allah reward us all. Remember that the people that came before us were punished and cursed for their lack of concern for others, for their lack of calling towards good and forbidding evil. Finally, when it comes to how we do it, we have the hadith that tells there are three stages, and depending on which or how much authority you have, and depending on the wisdom that is required, you will use whatever. But there's one that you always have to do, and that is hate it in your heart. Hate it in your heart. And finally, my brothers and sisters, the approach that we take should be from the sunnah. And that is, be sincere. Be sincere. Do it in private when possible, as much as you can. Do not embarrass people when you are giving them da'wah or calling them. Remember to use hikmah, to use knowledge. Remember to ensure, my brothers and sisters, that first of all, that what they are doing is actually haram. Ensure that what you think they are doing, they actually did it. Number three, do not look for mistakes and try to find them. But if they're very apparent, then you have the right to speak out against it. Give the people chance to grow into the guidance that you're giving them. And also, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have courage and patience when you are doing it. Be as gentle as you can. And I'm going to conclude this final advice. My brothers and sisters, there's a great scholar, Ibn Rajab, who said, do you know how you can check if you're sincere? Sincere when you are giving someone guidance and da'wah? Is that when you speak to them, afterwards, you follow up by making dua for them when they are not there. So it's not only about that moment, ya akhi, ya ukhti, change this, do this. But the moment that they are gone, you raise your hands and you make dua for them, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all and to forgive us for our shortcomings, to make us realize that we are the greatest nations through the calling towards good and forbidding evil. صلوا على نبيكم كما أمركم الله تعالى حيث قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم لا تفرق جمعنا هذا إلا بذنب مغفور وسعي مشكور وعمل متقبل المبرور اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودم من أعدائك أعداء الدين يا رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة.
This recording was produced by Green Lane Masjid. For more information on the activities and services the mosque provides, please visit www.greenlanemasjid.org.